I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Up on the mountain, when my Lord spoke, out of his mouth came fire and smoke. Looked all around me, it looked so fine, till I asked my Lord for what was mine.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray.
Oh, Jordan River, it's chilly and cold. It chills my body,
not the soul.
There ain't but one train up on this track. It runs to heaven and then right back.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart,
I will pray.
Thank you, men, and thank you, my friend, for tuning in to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your Bible teacher for this weekly program. And today, we'll be continuing the study we began last time from Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 14. Our study is titled Pursuing Perfection. I hope you can stay with me. And if you missed the first part of this teaching, you can find it at our website, heraldsofhope.org. Or you can contact us for an audio CD or a printed copy of the script. If you're tuning in for the first time, we want you to know that this program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. Heralds of Hope is an international gospel media ministry. We use audio and print resources to obey Christ's last command to make disciples. We currently broadcast our Bible teaching programs over the radio and internet in English and 21 other languages to a variety of places around the world. You know, some people today have the mistaken notion that radio has become obsolete in the digital age. This listener from the country of Nepal would disagree with them. He hears our broadcasts each week in his native language. Listen to his testimony. I am a regular listener to your programs. Since I became attached to these programs, God's blessings have been flowing in my life. Now I'm in my old age, and I am so weak, I need crutches to help me walk. I spend most of the time in my home, and your radio programs are my constant friend. There are lots of times God is speaking through His powerful words to make me strong and to revive my heart. There's no time for me to worry and feel sad. Do you know I am a good encourager for all the people around me? God is being so gracious in my life. I am leading my whole family to maturity in Christ and His eternal purpose. If people are ignoring God's love, I encourage them to listen to your programs. God's love and His eternal blessing is flowing continuously in our community through the radio programs. Those who have received it are blessed. What an encouragement to hear this man's testimony. His joy in the Lord is contagious.
Blessed be the name of Jesus, our Redeemer dear above, who is making home so happy with the blessing of His love. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for He blesses o'er and o'er.
Forever
blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love Him evermore. He is ever watching o'er us, guiding us along the way, and so lovingly is sharing all the burdens of the day. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for He blesses o'er and o'er.
Forever
blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love Him evermore. He will guide us all to glory if we lean upon His grace. Let us live with Him forever in the sunlight of His face. Blessed be the name
of Jesus,
blessed be the name
forever,
for He blesses o'er and o'er.
Forever
blessed be the name of Jesus, we will love Him evermore.
Last week, here on The Voice of Hope, we were studying from Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 14 under the title, Pursuing Perfection. In this section of his letter, Paul uses the metaphor of clothing to teach us very important spiritual truths. His teaching shows us that in our pursuit of perfection in Christ, there are several things we should put off, and there are several things we should put on. Incidentally, we're not talking about doing these things to earn our salvation, but rather we do these things because we are already living in Christ. As we closed our teaching last time, we were focusing on Paul's command to put off malice. In a few moments, as we resume our study, I'll review just a bit of what I said about what malice is and why we're told to put it off. But even before I do that, I will read the scripture text, Colossians 3, 8 to 14. This is God's word to us. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Next on Paul's list of things to discard is malice. How would you define that? What is malice? Well, it's ill will, especially the desire to injure another person or to rejoice in their misfortune. One of the synonyms of malice is malignity, and the root word is malign. To malign someone is to speak evil of them, and often unjustly. The word is also related to malignant, a term that's often associated with cancer. Unchecked malignancy leads to deterioration and death. It's something that infiltrates and grows. It is evil in its nature, its influence, and its effects. Malignity is passionately and relentlessly malevolent. It desires the downfall of other people. What distresses me is the amount of malice that exists among those who profess to follow Christ. And you know, it must have been a problem in Colossae too. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have mentioned it. But all of us experience hurts in life. We know that. Jesus told us in Luke 17:1 that offenses will come. They're inevitable. That's just part of life. But when they do come, God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us grace to respond with meekness and forgiveness. He enables us to return good for evil. But if you and I fail to accept the grace God offers to us in those times of hurt and pain, we will become bitter and will seek revenge. I'm deeply grieved by the amount of bitterness that exists in our churches today. So many congregations have been torn apart because people are not willing to forgive. As those who profess to follow Christ, we really need to confront the seriousness of this issue of malice. Why? Because God hates it. Yes, He does. Proverbs 6 reminds us that there are 6 things the Lord hates, and 7 are an abomination. That is, they are detestable to Him. The last one that's mentioned is one who sows discord among brothers. And yet we so often pass it off. Oh, we say, they just can't seem to get along with each other. I challenge you, look through the scriptures at what God calls an abomination and see how serious this really is. Paul gave this advice to Titus in his letter to him. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. We have ignored this exhortation to our own detriment. And those feelings of malice and bitterness that we too often overlook breed a desire for revenge, and that leads us to the next level of things we're to put off. Paul says, put off blasphemy. Now, often when we hear this word, we think about blasphemy against God, things like taking His name in vain or attributing evil to Him. And certainly, no true Christ follower should engage in that. But blasphemy isn't limited to that alone. Blasphemy is slander. It's speech that injures the good name or the reputation of another person. And today, with the widespread use of social media, it can be spread around the church and the community and the world in seconds, which makes it almost impossible to withdraw. You really do need to be careful what you post on social media, because once it's out there, you can't take it back, and it will live on forever in all of its infamy. I remember something that happened during my teen years. Negative reports began circulating about a certain Christian businessman. I would hear things from time to time over a period of several years. Finally, the issue came to a point where an investigation was made about the allegations concerning this man. And it turned out that because he was quite successful, there were those who were jealous of his success, and they started rumors about his character. The allegations were proven to be mostly untrue. You know, that is so sad and so unnecessary. Next on our list is filthy language. Yes, you know as well as I do, there's plenty of crude and vulgar speech in our society today, and no one seems to care. There was a time when some words weren't used in polite company or when women or children were present, but that's not true anymore. That's sad, but it's not really what Paul is talking about here. Because this isn't just shameful language, but rather foul-mouthed abuse. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word is used. If you notice, there's a progression in this list of sins. This kind of language reveals what's in men's hearts and should have no place in your speech and mine. In Matthew 15, Jesus was talking to His disciples about being defiled or unclean, and He said to them, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. As he wraps up his list of things to put off, Paul writes, "Stop lying to each other." Evidently, here was a practice from their past that the Colossian believers had carried with them. And the sense here is that we should not have the habit of lying. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, does that mean it's okay to lie occasionally? Well, think about this. How are habits developed? I think that answers your question. We are warned not to speak deliberate falsehoods. The reason Paul gives for putting away lying is twofold. First, he says, because you have put off the old self with its corresponding behaviors. The idea of putting off means to wholly divest yourself of something. Let's say you have some money invested in the stock market. If you sell those investments and close your brokerage account, you are wholly divested from the market. The words put off imply a complete liquidation. And further, it denotes a separation from the thing that is put off. To carry on the clothing analogy, you take off the old garment and you throw it in the trash and send it off to the landfill. Why? Because it doesn't fit you. It no longer expresses who you are as a new creature in Christ. Paul wrote in Romans 6:6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, or rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Now, in the times Paul lived, a slave was easily identified by the clothing he wore. Now imagine if that slave was able to somehow purchase his freedom, or he was voluntarily set free by his master. What do you think would be one of the first things he would do? Sure, he would go out and get a different set of clothing. Now that clothing may not be new, but it would certainly let everyone who saw him know he was no longer a slave. What does the clothing of your character tell others about you and your relationship to the Father? What is it that the Holy Spirit is asking you to put off? And that brings us to the next part of the metaphor of a change of clothing. The next part of the metaphor is put on the new. The second reason to put away lying is because we have put on Christ, according to verse 10. Putting on is used in the sense of sinking into an article of clothing. Putting on Christ makes us different. We're not who we used to be. In other words, our practice must square with our profession. Paul goes on to say that this new man is renewed in knowledge because you and I are created in the likeness of God. And the apostle actually coined a new word in the original language to convey this concept of renewal. It means to be continually refreshed and changed into a new kind of life that is opposed to the former corrupt life. It's not an event, it's a process. It is the pursuit of perfection. You know, this reminds me of the words of Jesus in John 7:37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." A continual cleansing, a continual refreshing is ours as we live in Christ and allow his word and his spirit to wash us daily. As we pursue this relationship with him, the characteristics of the old man, the old nature, are flushed out, and the characteristics of the new are both welcomed and embraced. And then Paul makes a statement that was revolutionary in his day. Look at verse 11. He says that in this new man who is putting on Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, the former distinctions of religion and ethnicity and social status and the like are not to be a part of the life of a person who is being daily renewed in the image of God. You know as well as I do that today we hear a lot about racism between black and white. And it's true. Our country has a history of discrimination. We can't deny that, and we need to deal with it realistically and redemptively. But I want to remind you of something very important. Racism is not primarily a skin problem. It's a sin problem. If you look at the past, you will see that very early in human history, one group of people began oppressing another group of people whom they considered to be inferior. So racism isn't a recent phenomenon, nor was it the reason for the founding of our country. Racism didn't start with the transportation of native Africans to Europe and the Americas. No, it existed a long time before that. In fact, it isn't even necessarily about skin color. Just look at slavery in the Roman world or in the Muslim world. These things are historically documented. And by the way, who brought native Africans from the interior of the continent and sold them to the European traders? In at least some cases, it was other African tribes who had the same skin color. And who were the parties that were involved in the Rwandan genocide in the 1990s? Two different black African ethnic groups who had previously lived together in a somewhat peaceful coexistence. And yet they turned on each other with a viciousness that was hard for the rest of the world to understand. In the aftermath of that tragedy, it was the church leaders who stood up and said, "The only way forward is forgiveness and reconciliation." And those concepts are uniquely biblical. Man's natural response to injustice is revenge. Jesus' way is humility and forgiveness. Historically, the true people of God have led the movement to abolish slavery wherever it was found. But it's also true that in the past, the institutional church has many times resisted that advancement because they were more concerned with financial gain and cultural acceptance. Today, they have completely flipped the script, and they are embracing the very unbiblical critical race theory for very similar reasons. The language Paul uses here insists that these distinctions cannot be. In fact, they're impossible in the life of one who is truly living in the renewed state of putting on Christ. It seems from Paul's letter that the Colossian church would have favored ascetic Judaism and looked down on the so-called unenlightened according to their standards. Paul literally destroys those distinctions. So if you and I have been guilty of accepting or promoting such distinctions, then we need to repent. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's teaching. Lord willing, we'll return next week to conclude this important study.
If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. The Spirit of Truth.
My friend, I hope this teaching has blessed you. If you'd like a copy of the complete teaching on this text, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. You can request an audio CD or a printed copy of the complete teaching, Pursuing Perfection, by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or by calling us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. To review today's program or to listen to previous programs, you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or just pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for your copy of this teaching, Pursuing Perfection. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we conclude our study, Pursuing Perfection. And until we meet again, rejoice in the great salvation we enjoy.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
I surrender.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation.